Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. I hear that in some parts of Lagos, you're not hearing us as clearly as you used to. If this is you, please send us a message on WhatsApp so that we can do a test. You are our field supervisor today. So send us a message on WhatsApp really quickly so that we can know what areas where you're not hearing us as clearly as you used to before, and we can try and fix that. First hard fact of the day: Lagos State announces a total ban on Okada in 6 local government areas. So Babaji Sanwo-Olu said no commercial motorcyclists will be allowed to operate in any part of Ikeja, Surulere, Etiosa, Lagos Mainland, Lagos Island, and Apapa local councils from the 1st of June, which is an interesting thing to hear from the governor, because the ban that went into effect on the 1st of February 2020 was not lifted. So I'm quite surprised to hear about this new ban. But anyways, second hard fact of the day: victims of the Abuja Kaduna rail attack have been in captivity for 52 days. Now, if you witness a story or a news event that you want Lagos to know about, call us on 01465-7175. I always say that you are in great company when you tune into Hard Facts, because you're listening alongside 1 million people. And if 1 million Lagosians choose this show from 3 p.m. every day, they cannot be wrong. That's why if you see something and you think it's a news story that Lagos should know about, call our newsroom directly on 01465-7175. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. So if you think it's news, it probably is. I have a great show for you today. Again, thanks for tuning in. Let's start with the big three and talk about the family members of the Abuja Kaduna Railway hostages planning to protest against the trains resuming. Then let's talk about the EFCC arresting Patricia Ete. And then let's talk about Oshomole and Fayemi in a war of words over rigging allegations. Oh, juicy. There's no glass ceiling today. Instead, it's day 3 of the I Beg to Differ quarterfinals. Kowia Wuraola Salam of Atanzil Schools, Ikorodu, takes on Atamas Pius Omo, 15 years old, of New Estate Baptist School, Surulere. You've never heard Atamas debate. I have during the auditions. Kowia was knocked out of the tournament completely, brought back in when someone pulled out of the tournament, won her round of 16, and she'll be here again for her second round. She's had such a fantastic story. So listen to her again today, 4 p.m. Don't miss it. On Balogun and Broad, let's talk about the court fining a bank because an ATM did not release a customer's cash after debiting the customer. Oh yes, 5 p.m. we'll talk about that. Now expect news, business and sports at the top of the hour every hour. But let's get started with today's big three. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three
on Hard Facts
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Should the Abuja Kaduna train service resume before the hostages are freed? How much do kickbacks to the legislature inflate executive contracts? Who do you believe, Oshomole or Fayemi? Those are the big three. Lagos, let's talk. Our first story is the plan to restart Abuja Kaduna rail service. I mentioned it to you yesterday as our first hard fact. The NRC says they want the trains to start running again on May 23rd, next week. But now the families of the kidnapped victims are saying for here. They're saying that unless and until the government secures the release of their family members, they will protest against any attempt to restart the trains. Hassan Muhammad is one of the leaders of a group called Relatives of AK-9, Abuja Kaduna train kidnapped passengers. He said, quote, "We will hold peaceful protests both in Kaduna and Abuja to express our displeasure on the resumption of activities at the stations. We maintain and stand on everything we have said at the last briefing. They must not go ahead with their plans to commence operations," end quote. The group's spokesperson, Idayat Yusuf, said, quote, "The whole world knows that we have been patient. The railway in that axis cannot resume operation. They should not dare us. You have people who boarded your train, were kidnapped, and yet to regain their freedom. All you are concerned about is to resume operation. The NRC should have a rethink," end quote. For their part, the Railway Commission says that they cannot keep the trains offline indefinitely, especially because Nigerians need the service. Fide Tokiria is the MD of the NRC, and he said, quote, "We have worked very hard in the last 1 month to the best we can do to ensure that those held hostage are released. We have been under pressure from Nigerians, mighty and low, to resume operations. They are those who want to benefit from a working train. We have weighed the pros and cons and cannot fold up the country," end quote. Now, Lagos, both sides are making very strong, very compelling points. And I want to know which side you are leaning towards. Which reminds me, the topic for today's I Beg to Differ debate is whether the tolls should reopen and they should start collecting money there again. It's going to be interesting, I hope. But back to Kaduna, the family members are saying that as long as their loved ones are not free, we can't just go back to business as usual. They seem to be pointing to the danger that their people will just be forgotten if the government is allowed to move on and resume train operations. But on the other hand, the NRC is saying that this train service is vital for the economy and for life in Kaduna and Abuja. Putting it on hold indefinitely will have serious effects. So which argument is more compelling for you? Women, call me on 01465-7190, 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us. Hello? Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Johnson from Ikorodu.
Johnson from Ikorodu, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk on the NRC reopen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Now, my own take is that how many times those people that are talking now have protested when many other children were taken hostage by these same people? Then, because they are now, they know these people, the thing that affected them now, and they want to stop the railway reopen. Does those who have anything with the I don't know. This me, I didn't support their protest. I didn't support their protest.
Yeah, you're right. You don't know. Thank you very much for calling. Hello, how are you?
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, ma'am. What's your name?
My name is Thelma. I'm calling you from Lekki.
Welcome, Thelma.
So I'm speaking about the train, resumption of the train service. And I'm wondering, I think the government or the NRC and the government should be bothered about what actually made the train service stop in the first place.
Mm.
The insecurity, has it been tackled? What's the assurance that there won't be a repeat of such an occurrence? That should be the basic thing. And who is even going to, with the fear of that anyway, who is going to want to, are people who actually wanting to take the train service?
Well, the NRC boss says they're getting pressure from everyone to reopen, both high and low, so.
generally anyway, I think they should tackle the insecurity issue so that there will not be a reoccurrence of the main reason why the train service stopped in the first place. Before they're actually thinking of reopening. That's the major thing to think about or to work on.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you so much for calling, ma'am. We've got Comrade Ikejiku on the line. How are you?
And so good afternoon. Why go quick?
Because it's quaggy.
And see, I'm very, very unhappy. And you win away, mom being at the para. And you see, I don't have any problem by them reopening their way. And you understand?
Okay.
And the route we are talking about is near the seat of Nigeria government power. And this is happening. So they can open that place. So, but have they provided any measure to save the occurrence of bandits being impounding Nigeria citizens? Have they made any provision? The operators, are they not government? Are you hearing me? And I have lost my fatal worker colleague in Boko Haram fight and my village man, Aro from Arachuku. And see, when I'm not happy, what I want to tell you is, you see those soldiers in South East that don't do anything, they can bring them. They took a note that they bought from America. They can make use of it now so that Nigerians can rest on that route. And see, very simple.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Ikechukwu. If you just tuned in, hello to you. Good afternoon. It's 15 minutes now past 3 o'clock. And our first story is the plan to restart Abuja-Kaduna rail service. We have the family members of the kidnapped victims saying, no, don't do it. But we have government saying we have to do it for the sake of the economy. We've been under pressure from Nigerians to reopen, both mighty and low. There are those who want to benefit from a working train. We've worked very hard to release the hostages. I beg, Ejo, let us reopen. So very compelling arguments on both sides. The family members, the relatives of the kidnapped victims of the hostages are saying that the whole world knows they've been patient. The railway in that axis cannot resume operations. They should not dare us. You have people who boarded your train, were kidnapped, were are yet to regain freedom, and all you're concerned about is to resume operations. We have the family members saying that they're going to have peaceful protests in Kaduna and Abuja to express their displeasure at the resumption of activities at the stations. And like I said when we started, compelling arguments, compelling points on both sides. Which side are you on? Which sides are you leaning towards? The family members are saying that as long as their loved ones are not free, we can't just go back to business as usual, because they're worried that once those trains restart, their people will be forgotten. Government will move on. But the NRC is saying that this train service is vital for the economy, for the life in Kaduna and Abuja. Putting it on hold indefinitely will have serious effects. Which argument is more compelling for you? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Adanne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark Afagi.
Uche,
welcome.
Richard from Satellite, thank you. You see this issue of railway opening up? I don't buy the idea.
Okay.
Because these are human beings, for crying out loud, from families.
Okay.
Some of them have children. Some are children of mother and fathers. They've been there for 52 days now.
Right.
And the government is silent about it, trying to reopen the railway again. Do you remember that there's another incident as at yesterday, the media reported? That same axis.
Okay.
These are human beings, for crying out loud. Let the government work with these terrorists, release these people so that people can move on with their lives. Okay. Please, that is my take. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Ma. Thank you so much for calling. 99.3, hello? Hello? Is anybody there? Is anybody out there? That's a line from Titanic. 99.3, hello?
Hello?
Good to have you on the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Mr. Samson.
Mr. who?
Samson.
Mr. Samson, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. Please, so I'm in support of this protest because government have gone ahead and made a law that they should not pay ransom to the kidnappers, and they could not save those who they have kidnapped. They want to open the train. It is all right in that way. Those who have lost their life is nowhere to be found, and those who are alive, they cannot save them. So the protest should go ahead and...
Okay, the protest should go ahead, he says. Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
This is Chinoye, your one and only town crier.
Chinoye, my town crier. What do you think should happen here? Whose argument are you buying?
Me. I don't just understand. What do you mean you want to open the window? I don't understand.
Because people need to move around. People need to move around now. People need to travel by train from Abuja to Kaduna now.
People need to move. If they don't do that train, they need to move around. Maybe put that one, they will be the best meeting at the first caller.
Okay.
You don't understand?
What did the first caller do?
I understand you. I don't deserve.
I feel you died, you know. Yeah, thanks for calling. We've got Agwoma on the line.
Hello, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Agwoma, welcome.
Yeah, it's so sad that up till now, security agents have not been able to rescue the people. This as it may, in my opinion, the Railway Corporation has to continue its operation. It is not their role, actually, to rescue these people. It's the role of the police or security agents.
Mm.
And the protest should be geared towards calling on the security agents to rescue these people.
Mm.
It has little or not to do with the corporation.
Mm.
So I will suggest that though I'm an advocate of such a protest, but it should not be against the Nigerian Railway Corporation, but rather against the security agents as well as the people in government.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Agwoma, for calling. If you just joined the show, our first story takes us to Kaduna, where family members of the Abuja-Kaduna Railway hostages are planning to protest in Abuja and in Kaduna if the trains reopen, like the NRC has said it will, on the 23rd of May. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is The Big Three on Hard Facts. And on this segment of Hard Facts, we bring you three of the biggest stories of the day so that you get a quick look. Very snappy, sharp. You know what's happening as you get into your car or just, you know, step out of what you're doing in the afternoon. I just want to feel the pulse of the nation. And our very first story takes us to Kaduna, where Hassan Mohammed, one of the leaders of a group called Relatives of AK9 Abuja Kaduna Train Kidnapped Passengers, said, quote, "We will hold peaceful protests in Kaduna and Abuja to express our displeasure on the resumption of activity at the stations. We maintain and stand on everything we've said at the last briefing. They must go ahead with their plans to commence operations," end quote. In response, the NRC, the Railway Commission MD, says that we've worked very hard in the last 1 month to the best we can to ensure that those held hostage are released. We have been under pressure from Nigerians, mighty and low, to resume operations. There are those who want to benefit from a working train. We've weighed the pros and cons and can't fold up the country, end quote. And like I said, compelling arguments from both sides. Which way are you leaning? Because one side says, look, you do this, you forget that our people are in captivity. The other side says, you do this, you continue to put the economy on hold. People do need to move around. It's a vital service for the economy, for life in Kaduna and Abuja. It will have serious effects if you put it on hold. Which side do you lean? 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Joy.
Joy, welcome. Tell me what you think.
Thank you. I'm on the side of they should not open this railway.
Okay.
Until they release those people.
Okay.
You know one thing I like about Nigeria?
What?
If something not happens to you, you will know the way to talk. But when it happens to another person, you will not know the way to talk. That is the way I see Nigeria. That is why things begin to continue in this country like this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Yusuf.
Yusuf, good to have you on the show. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I disagree with the second to the last caller that said that it's an emotion to let them open it because it is not the duty of the railway.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the railway, it is their railway land that got attacked and it's their duty to make sure that they rescue these people. They're supposed to mount pressure onto the Nigerian government.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of a country we are. In America or in some other foreign country, if something happened like this, within 1 hour or 3 hours, they will get people to rescue. But in Nigeria, for how many months? Nobody can be able to rescue them. So, in fact, they should not open until they rescue those people. And they should make sure that next time something like this will not happen again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yusuf, thank you very much for calling. I'll take your messages off of social media when we come back from this break. But I have this very quick one in front of me from Chinedu who says, I know it's painful, but remember we borrowed for this project. Also, it's like saying if people were kidnapped on Biniore Road, we should close the road. Let's think that's all I'm saying. But the government should do the needful. All right. Thank you so much for your message, Chinedu Odoemelam. We'll take that break. We'll come back. And then I will tell you what the EFCC and Patricia Ete are doing. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media. Lagos, don't go away. The EFCC arrested Patricia Ete yesterday. That's our second story. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we'll bring you the big three once it's 3 o'clock. Now, you may remember her as Speaker of the House of Reps very briefly in 2007. You remember her. She resigned as Speaker over corruption allegations, but she continued in the Green Chamber until 2011. And her arrest yesterday is connected to something that allegedly happened in that period. According to the EFCC, back in 2011, the NDDC awarded a 240 million naira contract to a company called Phil Jin Project Limited. The contract was for installing solar streetlights in Akwa Ibom State. And then according to the EFCC, the NDDC transferred 253 million naira to the company. Notice, by the way, that the transferred sum is larger than the contract sum. Contract sum was 240 million. What they transferred was 253. And then according to the EFCC, the company then transferred 130 million naira to Ete. So the EFCC has been investigating this contract. They say that there's no evidence that the job was executed. And now they want to know why the company transferred almost 60% of the contract value to a then sitting House of Reps member. Ete is not on the company's board of directors, nor is she on record providing them any services. So there's no legitimate explanation as far as the EFCC is concerned for these payments. But even if Ete were a board member or vendor for the company, that would then constitute a conflict of interest, which would disqualify the company from getting government contracts. But this case, this Ete NDDC case, it reminds me of the NDDC hearings from, I believe, 2020, or was it 2021? Remember when Godswill Akpabio, the then Niger Delta minister, appeared before the National Assembly? I'm sure you remember the lawmaker shouting, "Off your mic, honorable minister." You remember that? But do you remember what Akpabio was saying that led to the "off your mic"? I'm about to play a video for you on our website. If you can't go to our website, Nigeria Info 99.3, to watch the video, here's the audio.
For me, I'm not against it because I've got, who are even the greatest beneficiaries? It's you people now.
Okay.
Because if you look at your chairman, your chairman.
Okay. Honorable Minister. Honorable Minister, that's okay. That's okay.
Now, can I ask you that question? What is the benefit that the National Assembly is benefiting from?
It's okay. It's okay.
Are you asking me the benefit of National Assembly?
Yes. You just said.
I just told you that we have record to show that most of the contracts in NDDC are given out to members of National Assembly, but not, you don't know about it.
It's okay.
The two chairmen can explain to you. That is why I was a member. I was a member of the NDDC committee.
It's okay.
Wait, you were a member of the NDDC and you were a member of the NDDC in the 8th Assembly, and are you telling me that lots of jobs were awarded to you as a member?
No, this is a problem. That's why I said
have the right to accuse people. Then why can't you bring it?
Can you please listen to me? One of the chairmen.
You were not awarded a contract, then why are you coming here that you are aware that you were a member of the NDDC and lots of contracts were awarded to you?
You said
I'm not aware. I'm telling you.
May I inform my honourable sister that is why we have to change.
Honourable Minister, please. It's okay. That is okay. That is okay.
But let me explain.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Let me explain.
It's okay.
Now.
It's okay.
You must not allow the two children to
handle
the budget every year.
It's okay. Up your mic. It's okay.
You are like me. I was a member like you. I did not know what was going on.
Honourable Minister.
Yes,
it's okay.
Yes, Chairman.
Babi, by the way, is running for president. So there you have a then minister claiming that lawmakers are the beneficiaries of most NDDC contracts. He even specified that it's usually the leadership in both chambers who benefit the most, while floor members may not even know what is going on. It's a lot of food for thought, isn't it? Especially in the context of this accusation against Ete. We often talk about the high cost of governance. We talk about contract inflation. We talk about abandoned projects. All three of those problems are represented in this scandal. And if Akpabio is to be believed, this is the standard operating procedure for most NDDC contracts. Now, Akpabio was talking from his vantage view as Niger Delta Minister and as a former member of the Senate Committee on Niger Delta. But the question is, does this same situation show up with other ministries and parastatals? Are they also giving the majority of their contracts to lawmakers? By the way, notice that Ete was representing Osun State in the House of Reps. I'm pointing this out because whenever we discuss corruption in the NDDC, you often have people saying, well, it proves the Niger Delta people are not serious about developing their region. A whole agency was created for them. They are blowing the money. But in this situation, that money was not being blown by Niger Delta people. It's a federal lawmaker from outside the Niger Delta being accused of collecting half the contract money. So is it a Niger Delta problem or is it a systemic problem? Let's talk Lagos 01465-7190. For women, 01465-7190. For men, 0700-993-993-993. What does Etez arrest suggest about the National Assembly's role in abandoned projects, contract inflation, the cost of governance? Does this prove Akpabio's assertion that lawmakers from all parts of the country are the biggest beneficiaries of the NDDC? WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We've got Facebook. We're streaming live, so share your thoughts there. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Hello. Thanks for calling us. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Joy calling.
Joy, welcome. Go ahead.
Is the system that is the problem?
Okay.
Then again, you know my pain.
What?
Why they not they put these people for Kirikiri prison? They're not gonna feel better one day. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
My name is Francis.
Francis, welcome. Go ahead.
Now, systematic problem for Niger Delta own. But for the train, I support the family. They're not supposed to reopen. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Mrs. Bucci.
Mrs. Bucci, welcome.
See, that woman that eat up Nigeria, Niger Delta money, as from Delta Delta, nothing is going on there. Every day I keep on saying that. How did they develop Lagos? How did they develop Abuja? Why can't they use the same style to develop Niger Delta in that way? We look at how they are sharing the money, sharing the contract in between them in National Assembly. And end of the day, they will say, it's Niger Delta, it's the problem of Niger Delta. In fact, you see all these our politicians, they're supposed to spread them gone because of their diet we win.
Okay. Apologies for that comment there. We've got Tunde on the line. Hi, Tunde.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
I'm speaking from Ikorodu.
Welcome. Go ahead.
This shows this how money has been siphoned by all these National Assembly. It is good the EFCC interrogate many of them, especially during the 8th Assembly.
Okay.
It's a very bad thing.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. That's your contribution. Thank you very much for calling to contribute. We have, I'm waiting for that call to be logged so I can talk to that person. We've got Uche on the line. Hi, Uche.
Good afternoon, Adanne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back.
Thank you. You see this problem? Is a systematic problem.
Okay.
Is a systemic problem.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
You know why? In our small offices, where we are even heading, you...
Uche? Oh, that's unfortunate. Uche, if you can, please call us back. 99.3, hello.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name? Welcome, Kingsley. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sandra, you see the decadence of this country. But I don't know what happened that ESCC just woke up overnight. Do you know that the more you see, the less you understand in Nigeria sector? Can I tell you something, Sandra?
Okay.
I listened to the voice of Akpabio. He speak under the legs. But what he said is the reality about what is happening. Do you know how many money they have siphoned? Coming from this report this morning to the one that we had yesterday about the accountant general, Sandra, I knew there is a way and there is a system that they use to develop other states. Yes. But if you put your eyes on the ground to investigate very well, you'll find out that there are more accountant general and this woman in those states. But I think by then that they developed those states, I think they still have what is called humanity in human, Sandra. they put human being first. But these days, I don't know the kind of heart we have, Sandra. Well, I don't know where the EFCC will start, but I think they're supposed to use one person to do example in Nigeria, Sandra. I don't know where we are going to get there. Sandra, can I make a suggestion, please?
Well, you've been talking for a while, and I want to talk to Uche. She's been on the line for a while, so maybe if you can, call back to make the suggestion or send it via WhatsApp. Uche, hi. Welcome back.
Thank you. Like I was saying, Adane, the small offices we are holding, you make a budget. The person that is going to approve that budget, we turn around and call you and say 10% is for me. Tell me, how are we going to survive in this type of a country where everybody is corrupt? Majorly, those in authority are the ones causing trouble. They will, before budget is approved, they will collect 10% of that budget. They don't care whether that budget you have made is going to be able to carry out what you are using it to do. It's a systemic problem. It is all over. It's not only NDDC. Thank you and good afternoon, Adanne.
Thank you so much for calling, Uche. Let me take you to allegations between Adams Oshiomhole and Kayode Fayemi. That's our third story. They are having a war of words. They are both members of the APC. Oshiomhole was once APC's national chairman. Fayemi is currently the governor of Ekiti State. He's running for president. Oshiomhole is reportedly running for the Senate. And the current controversy is about the party primaries before the 2019 elections. Oshiomhole was chairman at the time. And he's accusing Fayemi of asking him to rig the primaries. Oshiomhole said, quote, if one of the meetings, in one of the meetings I had with Governor Fayemi, he told me bluntly to my face that, chairman, what we are saying is you can go and conduct election and fulfill all righteousness, but if we say this is the person to emerge, just make sure he emerges. I told Fayemi that it would be his portion, not me. I can't be used as an instrument of fraud to invite people to buy forms and convince them that they're going to go for the primaries, regardless of how the people will vote, and this is the man that will prevail. You want to use me for such a purpose? End quote. Very serious accusations. Fayemi has responded, though, through his spokesperson. The statement says, quote, for the avoidance of doubt, Governor Fayemi has no reason to approach Comrade Oshiomhole for favors for any election. Fayemi has a stellar track record of being a consummate Democrat, even in difficult times. The allegation, which was made on national television, is not only false, puerile, and laughable, it is a figment of the imagination of the former APC chairman, as Fayemi has never asked Oshiomhole to rig the elections for him or any other person, and never had any reason to ask for such. Members of the public are therefore urged to disregard the allegation by Oshiomhole, who apparently is still experiencing a post-traumatic stress disorder because of his removal as chairman of APC. If true, we challenge Oshiomhole to provide the public with independently verifiable evidence of his unsubstantiated claims. End quote. I really don't have a lot to say about this story, Lagos. It tells itself. I want your opinions. But I will say, that it is very interesting that Oshiomhole is going public about this now. The question is, did Oshiomhole approach the authorities in the intervening years since he's saying that Fayemi allegedly asking him to commit an electoral crime, because rigging is an electoral crime? Did he approach the police? Did he approach any of the authorities? And I guess the second question that comes from that is, will Fayemi sue Oshiomhole for libel and defamation since he's saying that the accusations are false? Or will both of them keep the mudslinging in the press alone? Lagos, three stories. Talk to me about any of them. Do you believe one man over the other? If you do, who do you believe? Do you think Oshiomhole's accusation gives us a window into how primaries work? 0700-993-993-993. For men. For women, 01465-7190. Sorry about that. Call us back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Dambaba.
Dambaba, welcome. Go ahead.
I saw something you post on Facebook. What's that? Lagos State government announcing a total ban on Okada.
Yes.
You see, this governor, Lake Babajide Sanwo-Olu, has turned to IG of police.
Okay.
If they ban checkpoint, you know, you count how many times they ban police checkpoints in Nigeria? You see, this shows that the system has failed, our leader has failed. There's no ramification, and it's not just Okada ban. There's a ban in Lagos, not just Okada. We were told then, I think during Fatila, that trailers are not allowed to move until 9 p.m. But look at container fall on the Ojulegba Bridge and every other places in Lagos almost every three months in Lagos. Why are you announcing total ban on Okada at Ikeja, Ikeosa, Leri, Mainland, and every other place? All you need to do is to enforce the law. That is what we need. As I speak to Ina Ikoi, VI, everywhere, Okadas are roaming around the street. You see that one place, I think this man like this press conference, I hear they call it, every time he wants to be in the news. Let's not see Okada again on our road. We know that you are walking. There's no point in all this, every day I ban Okada, I do this one. No, now. Then on this railway, this thing, I want to ask you a simple question.
Okay.
Why is it that when airline, or this DSTV and every other thing, do anything, the government will be quick to come and pay the citizen, pay these people compensation. But when government something offend anybody, they just want to one-way traffic and open it like that. Are you aware when the popular airline had a crash the other day, the government were saying that they should compensate the victim family and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
How come the bandits who boldly speak with the government abduct some people? All you're talking about is to reopen. Who are those people that are disturbing them? That's definitely what they say during the toll gate reopening. That people around there say the noise is too much and all these things. This is a lie. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Happiness is on the line. Hi, Happiness.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Happiness.
Hey, Sandra, I support the protest, though. It is human being they kidnap, no chickens.
Okay.
They should not open that railway until those people are found.
Okay.
Sandra, mm-hmm. Oshomole has started again. Oh. He has started. Oshomole, stay your lane. Oh. You have started again. Ha. Sandra, have a lovely day.
Have a lovely day yourself. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello? Hello? All right, there's no one there. This is my cue to go to WhatsApp, where we have lots of comments. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. And we have this comment here that says, Sandra, I think it's a system failure. The country is not organized at all. From presidency to the local government, everyone is scamming everyone. That's why nobody wants to talk. Sandra, good afternoon. Do I share the grief of these people planning to protest? Of course I do. Would I feel the same way if my family member was involved? I most likely would and do. Do I think the Nigerian government is lacking in responsibility? Yes. On that, we are all agreed. But I do not believe that the railways should be shut down. You don't ground an airline forever just because one of its airplanes crashed. Omar Akin is in the US sending us this message on WhatsApp. Omar Akin, thank you so much for your message. Sandra, I have no issue with the EFCC arresting Patricia's corruption, but that was since 2011. What happened to those that have been charged for corruption under this administration? How about the Accountant General of Buhari APC with a loot of 80 billion naira just recently? Why will EFCC leave that current case for a case of 11 years ago? Is this not bias, Sandra? You didn't leave your name, but thanks for sending your message. I don't think it's bias. I think maybe they just found evidence to back up their investigation, because like I said, they've been investigating for a long time. We've got Davo who says, Sandra, will the FG be pushing NRC to reopen if Buhari's child or relation was among the abducted? All right, Davo. Madam Sandra, they should not open the railway, no matter how long it lasts. The leaders of this country should not be heartless. Emmanuel from GRA with that message. Mandela from Satellite Town says, Sandra, these leaders don't value our lives. They're busy thinking about how to resume Abuja-Kaduna railway service. They're not thinking about how to bring back those who are in the hands of the kidnappers. If there are no human beings in this country, will anything work? They should not think of reopening the railway until the people are safe. All right. We have this one that simply says, what a country. Stephen from Lekki says, the corruption in the Niger Delta is a systemic problem. A greater problem is that those meant to supervise these projects are also corrupt. So who is the solution? Great question. Stephen from Lekki, thanks for your message. We've got someone who says, I'm with the family of the kidnapped passengers that says NRC must not resume operations since the people kidnapped in the train are still in captivity. What is the guarantee that if the train resumes, another group of travelers will not be kidnapped again? You didn't leave your name, but thank you for your message. We have this one here that says, I am in total support of the protest. NRC must not commence operation on Abuja-Kaduna route until the captives are released. Can someone imagine the scenario in Lagos where the government has commenced operation on Lucky Tollgate and justice is not yet done to the dead and injured during the NSAS protest? Operation must not be allowed until they are released. That's Lanre Bashir from K2 with that message there. Fire Me got his second term ticket through rigging. Someone is alleging here. Oshomole always speaks the truth. He knows what he was saying. Fire Me had the support of cabals in the party. That's a statement from Jibola Moshood on WhatsApp. That's all the time I have, but we have I Beg to Differ coming up in 5 minutes. So don't move away from your radio. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts.